Now, back to Open House with Team Reba.
Welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. I'm Reba Hass of RE/MAX Metro East Side. And unfortunately for our listeners, you don't get the pleasant tones of Eric Osnes from Home Street Bank, my co-host with us today. But you do get to enjoy Randy Banneker of Banneker & Associates as we sit here talking about hot topics of real estate locally and specifically in the city of Seattle. And during the break, we started getting into some of those hot topics.
We did.
Of U-District and upzoning. Talking about affordability and getting density and being around mass transit. So tell us what happened when you were recently at a meeting about the U-District upzone.
So I attended a public hearing, kind of an open house and public hearing last week that was presented by the city council. Mm-hmm. And the council is reviewing a proposed upzone of the University District. And it is consistent with the HALA Grand Bargain Package, which was that effort that the mayor undertook, Housing Affordability and Livability Advisory Committee, and they looked at ways to bring greater affordability to the city through increased zoning, more units, more market rate units, but also a great number of subsidized or income qualified units.
Okay.
And so the U District is in the queue for those for that upzone as well. And I testified in favor of the proposed upzone, which would bring would add about 5,000 market rate units and up to around 900 or 1,000 subsidized units over time, over 10 years. And it would do that by allowing some increased heights on the building that is adjacent to the building, the old Safeco building, which is now the UW administration building.
Now, are they upzoning to that same height of that building or no?
The heights will get as high, I believe, as 320 feet.
Okay.
So that's 32 stories, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Depending on ceiling heights.
And the way that the
25 to 30
affordable housing program works is that you are required for a certain level of affordability, but you can increase your heights if you commit to a greater number of affordable or subsidized units. And so there's this incentive process. It's a value for value. The developer gets a little more, and then affordable housing gets more.
Right.
So
our tax credit at work.
Yeah. And there's a tax credit program. There's also essentially a fee that is charged for that increase, that opportunity to increase your height. And that's not throughout the U District. It's just in certain blocks right near the Sound Transit Station, which we talked about before.
It would make the most sense.
You make an investment of that magnitude, millions and millions of dollars, you know, $55 billion for the, well, it's more than that for the whole system. Those are the places where you want the densities, where people can live right near the station and be able to go downtown or be able to go to Bellevue or wherever they need to go.
But you said you were booed.
So I was booed, and I was booed by people who just don't think this thing will work. And they don't think they are concerned that it will erode their quality of life.
And that's because they live in the single family homes nearby
Or they live in an apartment that has a reasonably affordable rent and they're worried that that's going to spike upwards. Or they're in an adjacent neighborhood that does not want to see increased traffic. They just, they're, and at the end of the day, I think
increased traffic. So they're worried about the parking. Is it really the traffic or the parking?
Parking is always a big issue.
Oh, yeah.
Parking's an issue in Ballard, for instance.
Oh, yeah. We found that out today again.
Yeah. Well, you know.
It was a reminder. I was glad I wasn't in my husband's truck. It'd be a nightmare.
The city has gone through kind of ebbs and flows of requiring parking or not requiring parking.
Right.
Not requiring parking if you're in proximity to mass transit, if you have alternatives.
Right.
And that ebb and flow can be very frustrating for neighborhoods that feel like they're overwhelmed. And I think at the core of it, these folks don't want to be overwhelmed with new development, and they are not trusting that the city will protect them from that. And yet.
But who else? I mean, if you don't have someone kind of watching it, I mean, the developers themselves, if they had leeway, there'd be no affordability whatsoever.
Well, I'm not willing to be that rough on the developers. I think they're willing to they're being adults about this. They recognize that there is a challenge region-wide, city-wide, and they're at the table. I think the city has gotten smarter, too, about...
Is that the local developers, or are we talking out-of-area people, too?
Well, the local developers are the ones that are...
Because those, I will give you credit, a lot of them do actually get engaged and involved. Our Master Builders Association, give kudos to them. But what bothers me is when I see so much out-of-area money coming in. Because we've got a lot of Chinese builders coming in now.
Well, the local builders are the ones that are at the table having the dialogue with the city, with the neighborhoods, about how the zoning regulations, the development regulations should play out. What should be the look and feel of the heights, the setbacks, all those things. And I think the city, the development community has gotten smarter about creating spaces that are really inviting, that are walkable, that are, you know, they're pedestrian friendly. They make you feel like you're happy to be there.
Right.
And those are the sort of elements that we're also seeing emerge in this plan, where they're talking about festival streets. They're talking about
opportunities
for local retail. Retail on the Ave has suffered for many years.
Yes, it has.
This will be a big part about...
But that's partly because of U Village, isn't it?
It is, but I think there's also some public safety questions. Mm-hmm. I think there's also just is your catchment of consumers enough to support, you know, a broader array of retail, local retail.
Got it.
So those are the opportunities there, and I think we really need to grab on to those opportunities instead of just saying no. We also just, you know, as a community, we're skeptical about major institutions. In this case, it's the UW. And the UW is vibrant and growing. And I think we see a lot of neighbors worried that the institution is going to engulf their neighborhood and again, bring on change that is unpleasant. And yet, the UW is...
It's such a key component to our area.
It's a huge job driver.
Yeah.
It's
a job driver, and the technology and other things that come out of the research that happens there spins off into so many other businesses that are here.
Well, in fact, one of the components, parallel to the city's Upzone plan, the UW has a master plan that it's pursuing. And I don't know a whole lot about it, but I have heard elements like they are exploring the idea of this business incubator zone, where some of those technologies, some of those ideas that are developed within the institution then get a little incubation to make it into commercialization.
Of selling the technology itself, actually trying to.
But also playing a role, playing a role in helping people commercialize that technology.
Right.
More, even more than they have before.
Okay.
And so that's really interesting.
One of my past
stuff.
Clients used to be, or I shouldn't say used to, she still is. She works there helping with the licensing of technology that comes out of the UW. It was fascinating talking with her years ago when helping her buy a condo. But and she struggled with the same issue.
Yes.
She was trying to find something that was affordable enough for her, but within, she didn't want to have to drive all the time because the parking is a problem on campus. And so she was like, I don't want to have to deal with that. And in fact, she wasn't even necessarily on campus. She was in one of the buildings nearby. And so she was like, oh, I need to have something that's easy to get there to and fro. And so she did find that eventually. But, I mean, it's been going on. It's going on for decades, actually.
It's been going on for a long time. And we talked earlier on about the Growth Management Act. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to weave a little bit of that in.
Yes, please do.
So the Growth Management Act came about in the late 80s, early 90s. Mm-hmm. And
We always tell everyone it kind of started around 1990.
Yeah. Yeah, 94, I think it actually the plan started to get implemented. Mm-hmm. And the idea was that we had another growth spurt and we were becoming legitimately worried.
Right when I moved here, by the way.
Yeah, you
December
were part
2nd,
of that.
1989.
You're the player.
that's right. Me coming up here with my Boeing roommate.
So there was a lot of worry about sprawl.
Right.
All over the region that we were going to, you know, develop housing and commercial buildings all the way up to Snoqualmie Pass.
Right, yeah.
And so growth management came in and said, no, communities need to plan, and we're going to protect our resource lands, natural lands, and we're going to direct growth into urban areas, largely existing urban areas.
Right.
And then where we have rural towns, we're going to protect those so we don't lose the character of those towns. Great
like
goals.
North Bend?
Like North Bend or Snoqualmie.
Yeah.
You know, we have those towns. Vashon is another. Mm-hmm. And that has been really successful. But another part of that plan was ensuring that we were balancing jobs and housing. So we were going to track jobs and population and ensure that communities, local jurisdictions, cities, and the county as a whole were providing, not building the housing, but allowing the housing to be built relative to the job growth.
Okay.
What's happened is we have kind of forgotten about that piece. That piece is a compliance process as opposed to city by city saying, yeah, we are going to ensure that there's an adequate supply of housing. Because politically, it is a great way to get yourself unelected if you are a proponent of growth.
Oh, interesting. Really?
And that's what we need to turn around.
Do you feel that that's true even like a city like Bellevue?
Absolutely. It is risky.
Even though Bellevue has had such tremendous amounts of growth over the last 30 years.
Talk to someone about a more intense use near their neighborhood.
Oh, well, people individually get all kinds of NIMBY on you.
So,
but yet, Bellevue prices being the way they are have 100% to do with what they've done in their downtown core. And that's been
growth.
A mini...
Commercial growth is contained and city by city. What's challenging is delivering on the residential growth and not mowing down single family detached neighborhoods.
Okay, so.
But looking for opportunities to increase intensity where it makes sense to do it.
Right.
By that I mean adding residential units.
Yeah, I feel like there's some people who want to hold on to, I think it's less about fighting growth because they're like, oh, not in my backyard. Oh, it's going to make my life horrible. I think of it sometimes as they're like, no, I just want to protect my own personal equity. But it's a different topic. So anyway, we're going to get back into that. Call us if you want to talk about this, 866-712-1300. I'm Reba Haas from Team Reba, Open House with Team Reba. Back in.
Open House has open phone lines. Give us a call at 866-712-1300.